other side of midnight. 77 WNBC. Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is the other side of midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Well, this is not as sexy as the Trump trial in Manhattan. This is not as sensationalistic as what we're seeing in terms of the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas. And it certainly does not have the international global consequences of the Israel-Gaza war. However, if you live in New Jersey, this is pretty important. Just yesterday, an appeals court has upheld the ruling killing the controversial ballot design in the New Jersey Democratic primary. The decision from the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals preserves a lower court's preliminary injunction that changes New Jersey's unique ballot design from what's known as the county line to office block ballots. So what's always been the case in New Jersey is if you're endorsed by the county party, you get a very prominent spot on the ballot. If you're not, if you're running against the party choice, they put you out in ballot Siberia where nobody can find you. That has all changed, thanks largely to a lawsuit brought by Congressman Andy Kim and others. The irony in all this is that Andy Kim himself is now going to be the party choice for U.S. Senate, but this lawsuit still remains. This is very exciting. This is one of the most fundamentally important things to happen to New Jersey politics as far as making it more Democratic with a small d in at least 30 years. Now, the big question is, what are the Republicans going to do? Because the only challenge was to the Democratic primary. As of now, the Republicans still get to keep their county line system. There are some Republicans that are challenging it as well on the basis of this ruling. But in the short term, for this year and hopefully going forward, New Jersey must use office block ballots in the June Democratic primary after this federal appeals court said it's keeping in place this lower court ruling. And Andy Kim, who I think deserves a lot of credit for this, and his co-plaintiff's attorney, they called the ruling monumental. And you know what? They are absolutely right. Now, the preliminary injunction only applies to this year's Democratic primary. The appellate court's ruling bodes poorly for the county line survival in future primary elections as well. A decision on that is still pending in the lower court. But we'll see where this goes. But if you are an insurgent candidate running for anything in the state of New Jersey from now on, yesterday was a very good day for you.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The other side of midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is the other side of midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Well, I have to give an enormous amount of credit to New York City's Mayor Eric Adams. And you know, I have been quite critical of the mayor from time to time because it looks like Eric Adams is trying to move more in Rudy Giuliani's direction. What do I mean by that? It looks like he is trying to hire former federal prosecutor Randy Mastro. And if that name sounds familiar, not only has he been a regular guest on this station, he's been on with me, he's been on the Cats at Night show, or Cats and Cosby, excuse me. He's been on the a bunch of different radio shows on our station. He was the deputy mayor under Rudy Giuliani. He's in the final stages of becoming the corporation counsel, pushing out Sylvia Hines Raddix, a former judge who's been serving in that role for over 2 years. According to the New York Times, Mayor Eric Adams has been behind the scenes advocating for the veteran attorney to take on the position of New York's top lawyer. A City Hall spokesperson told City and State that no appointment is confirmed until it is announced. Here are a few things to know about about Randy Mastro. He's represented a number of high-profile companies, including MSG, Amazon, Chevron. He was hired back in 2014 by former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. He repeatedly challenged former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg over taxis, over term limits, over a host of other issues, and his home was actually vandalized back in 2020. And he's currently representing the current New Jersey governor in the state's lawsuit over congestion pricing. By the way, this is going over like a lead balloon with the progressive members of the city council, which might end up killing this because a tweak to the city's charter authorized by the voters back in 2019 gives the city council authority over who the mayor hires for this position. And some of the more progressive members, Tiffany Caban, for instance, don't like the fact that he's bringing on board a former Giuliani deputy mayor. Quote, New Yorkers did not elect the most progressive, diverse, Democratic supermajority in council history to rubber stamp a return to the Giuliani era. I think we could use a return to the Giuliani era, and I give the mayor kudos for bringing on board in such a key position in his administration someone that was so integral to the reforms that took place during the Giuliani years. Good for you, Mayor Adams.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Well, yesterday I spent a little bit of time telling you about how Mayor Eric Adams' Legal Defense Fund had hired private investigator Bo Deedle for about $13,000 to do what? We have no idea. But what has happened in the last 24 hours is that Bo Deedle has been fired. You see, after it was reported that Bo Deedle had been paid this money by the mayor's defense fund, the mayor is his good buddy and frequent dining partner and someone that he raised a lot of money for, and yet nobody can explain what exactly Bo Deedle was doing to earn the $13,000 of money from the Legal Defense Fund. Reporters called him. The Daily News asked him for comment on Tuesday. Deedle responded by saying, I wouldn't tell you any thing. Of course, he actually said the word. Then Deedle went on an even more obscene rant on Wednesday when a reporter for Politico inquired about his work for Adams Trust. And Bo Deedle, that class act, responded, go suck somebody's because I don't want to talk to you, okay? Boy, that brings me back to the days of the 2017 mayoral campaign when Bo Deedle was cursing at me like crazy. If you're not familiar with that story, you can look it up. I'll spare you the details now. Well, apparently, Bo Deedle has now been fired. A day after I told you that he was working for the Legal Defense Fund, the mayor's Legal Defense Fund has fired him for berating two reporters with vulgarities. The thing that I don't understand, if you're the mayor or his Legal Defense Fund, is how do you not know that Bo is the most crude, vulgar, classless individual around? I mean, this is like me hiring Jerry Seinfeld and then being shocked that he made a joke. I mean, Bo Deedle curses the way most people breathe. If you're going to hire Bo Deedle, and look, I'm not saying he's not a great investigator. He certainly is. Had a great record as an NYPD detective. If you're going to hire Bo Deedle, you have to know that when any reporter asks him even a remotely challenging question, he's going to curse up a bleeping storm. So I don't understand what the mayor's office was thinking here. I don't understand what the Legal Defense Fund was thinking, but their attorney, Vito Pitta, has confirmed that Deedle had been fired over the rants. Pitta said in a text to the Daily News, quote, the mayor believes that the language is unacceptable and that no person should talk to another person in such a disrespectful way. When first reached during his post-termination meal Wednesday evening, Deedle responded by saying, Daily News, do you want me to curse you out? He refrained from doing so. But he said he hasn't been informed by Adams Trust about his firing. He said no one has notified me about that. I think this whole enterprise, this whole episode, says a great deal about Eric Adams and a great deal about Bo Deedle.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
In my time in New York City politics, I have had some legendary battles with the New York City Board of Elections. They have thrown off the ballot so many candidates that I've supported who have been running for party office and for public office. And it just drives me crazy. The whole petition challenge process drives me crazy. And now it's very interesting. By the way, there are a lot of great people at the Board of Elections. My best man at my wedding, who's one of my closest friends, Vinny, is the deputy executive director there. My mom works there. I have a lot of good friends and family members that work there. So I'm not trashing them as an agency when I tell you this story. This has been reported by the New York Post and it's publicly available. But the top lawyer at the city's Board of Elections, Hermalee Patel, has taken a leave and is going to be running for civil court judge in Brooklyn. But in the irony of all ironies, objections were filed to disqualify her from the ballot. So Patel's a Democrat who makes about $200,000 a year. She's remaining, while she's on leave to run for judge, she's remaining on the payroll and collecting a check while using her quote unquote vacation or annual leave time. Now, this is an interesting twist because you would think her petitions as the top lawyer at the Board of Elections would be absolutely pristine, not a dotted I or a crossed T out of place. But objections were filed to her petitions of voter signatures, including some of her subordinates in the council's office. And now you have a situation where people that she works with and people that she supervises are going to make determinations about whether or not these signatures are valid, which raises a lot of concerns about a conflict of interest. But it also raises a couple of interesting questions. One, she ran for judge before. She just took this job a couple of years ago. If she knew she was going to run for judge again, why would she take this job? Number two, is there a little bit of a conflict of interest with the New York City Board of Elections ruling on the validity of petitions for the top lawyer at the Board of Elections? I would say that's a big maybe. And lastly, this is yet another example of how insane New York State and New York City's petitioning process is. Anybody that wants to run for office should simply be able to run, as is the case in many other states. This cottage industry that's emerged of throwing people off the ballot has got to end. Let's put an end to this petition process once and for all. Let anybody that wants to run with a filing fee, and that's it.
Beam me up!
To be continued.